Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians this morning, chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 this morning. We're going to read two verses, verses 8 and 9 this morning. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. Now I'll read aloud as you read silently as we read the text this morning. As you find in your place, would you please stand to your feet in honor of the Word of God as we read the Word of God together this morning. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 8. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the scriptures. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the opportunity to hear it preached from the man of God. Now, please speak to our hearts today. Help us. We need to hear from heaven. Now, to accomplish this, we need you to anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit. Use him to help us today. And Father, as it's been prayed already this morning a couple of times, Father, if there's someone here, and obviously it is because it's been mentioned so much in prayer, if there's somebody here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray before they leave this room, they would settle that and know him and trust him. I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated, we will ask that you make sure your cell phone is turned off or at least to vibrate so it does not go off during the service. We'd appreciate that very much this morning. And due to the Lord's Supper and the briefness that we have, time we have, you're going to have to listen very quickly this morning. I have 5 minutes until 12, and Baptist preachers are supposed to be done at noon, and so I am now Pentecostal, and so here we go. Let's stay with me for a moment. A mystery. 22 times in the New Testament, the Bible talks about a mystery with God, or God's mystery, or a mystery understanding of something. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 9, did you see that? It says there, look at the statement in that verse, please. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself. A mystery is something that is known, but yet to be revealed. Something that is known, but yet to be revealed. That's a mystery. There are a lot of mysteries in life, are there not? Things where we think, boy, I don't know about that. What in the world does that mean? Or what's going to happen here? A mystery, for example, is, I don't know if I ought to use this illustration or not. Let me think. Yeah, I'll use it anyway. Here's the thing. We're sitting in a Chinese restaurant one day, looking at the menu, and I'm looking at the appetizer list. There's pot stickers. I like pot stickers. There's egg rolls. I like egg rolls. And then there was this thing on the list of the appetizer spelled P-U-P-U tray. And I asked the waitress, I said, what is that? She said, oh, that a poo-poo tray. She said, you want some? I said, no, I really don't. And I thought to myself, now that's back there in the kitchen with what I'm about to order too on top of that. So that kind of bugged me a little bit. I was in Mexico, down the interior of Mexico. We went to this restaurant and they gave us the menu. Of course, it was in Spanish and I could read some of it anyway. And then the missionary with said, would you mind giving them a menu in English? And I looked at the appetizer list on there and they had maggots and crickets and all kinds of stuff in there. And I'm thinking, now that's back there with my food too. So you understand what a mystery is now? No, not disgusting. Mystery is something that is known and is yet to be revealed. And like I said, 22 times in the New Testament, the Bible talks about these mysteries with God. I think one of the greatest mysteries with God is the mystery of his will. Now let me explain to you what that means. God has a plan the will of God. And there's a lot about the will of God, His plan, that is a mystery to us. It's known now. It's known to God. That's the important thing. You've done that before, fellas. You've been driving. This is pre-GPS days. You've been driving and you've been lost for an hour. And being a man, you're not going to ask for direction because you really don't need it. You'll eventually get there. It may take you days, but you will arrive. And your wife looks at you in a kind word and says, "You know what you're doing? Do you know where we're going? Why don't you just pull over and get directions? I know where I'm going. Everything's fine. You know where you're going, but you just haven't figured it out yet." Okay, there we go. There are mysteries in life. But the mystery of His will, God's plan, does it always make sense to you? Is it always clear? Do you always have a perfect view of the will of God for your life? And the plan of God, do you understand? Now, let me give this to you, and I'll cover this again in a moment. When we talk about the will of God, you need to understand this. It's God's plan for all of mankind, for all of the ages, and yet in that plan for all of mankind and all of the ages is God's will for each and every individual. Now, just the concept of that should cause us to pause and realize what an amazing God we have, that He has this plan for all of the ages, for all of mankind. I mean, think about it. Just on this earth today, there are 7.2 billion people on this planet. And God has a plan for this day and this time and how it would fit all of the plan He has for all of the ages and all of mankind who has ever lived and all 7.2 billion people on this planet, and how that plan also has in it what God intends, His will for each and every one of those 7.2 billion people on this planet. That's amazing. And it is a mystery. The mystery of His will. That which is known to God, but not us, but will be revealed. The Bible tells us He will withhold no good thing from His children. There's nothing about His plan for your life and how it fits into this great plan of the ages. There's nothing about that that God wants to keep from you. He will let you know what His plan for your life is. But there are periods in time where you and I have to have enough faith to trust that the God of heaven knows what He's doing, and there is this mystery to us on our side of things, where we pause and just sort of scratch our heads and think, now, how does that fit? The mystery of His will. In that mystery of His will is the mystery of God's working in our lives. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 says, "And we know that all things do what? Work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." Have you ever considered how that working of God, how all things work together for good? Now let me explain to you when it says all things, what it means. It means all things, just like what the Bible says. Everything. All the good and the bad and the bitter and the sweet and the high and the low and what we perceive as right and wrong, all of it. Every bit of it. Everything we ever thought or could have imagined and everything that was way beyond our comprehension, all things work together for good. How could everything that ever happened to every individual on this planet possibly, how could it ever work out together for good? How could this be? Our fellow Wednesday night in our last of our musical May services, Brother Tharp was with us. And if you missed the service, you missed my singing debut. You missed it. Now, you should have been here, really. And it was my opening and closing the same night, as a matter of fact. Brother Tharp, we were driving along the other day, and as you know, if you did not know, his son, Eric, was killed in a car wreck. Young man living for God, wanting to do right, going to go to Bible college, serve the Lord. Killed by a drunk driver. And we were talking about it a bit the other day. That they stayed over for a bit on Thursday, and we spent some time with him. His wife and my wife and I are good friends, and we were just spending some time together during that day, and I was asking him about this. He said, you know, he goes, at times, things like that, he goes, I don't always see how it could all be for good. And I thought to myself, how could that be good? You have a young son, his namesake, Eric Jr., is going to go live for God, serve God, preach the gospel of Christ as his father did, and a drunk driver pushes him out into eternity. Now, are you listening to me this morning? That's the mystery of God's working. How could this be? How could all things work together for good? See, that's something that's known to God that is not known to us. But what happens with Romans 8:28, as we often remind you, is that part of Romans 8:28, all things work together for good, that's God's part of Romans 8:28. Don't get on God's side of Romans 8:28. You leave that alone. That's His. God said He would work everything together for good. God said He would. God can. God will. God has that ability, and God can make all things work together for good. See, we don't see that. In the moment, that doesn't always seem right to us. There have been times with you and with me, we've all done that before, where it just didn't make sense. How could this be good? But He didn't always say it would be good at the moment, but He did say it would work together for good. The mystery of His working. At times I work for God. I'm a servant. I want to work for God. I'm glad to work for God. But there are certain times when I'm not real excited about it. When people ask me questions about, well, why did God do this and why did God do that? Sometimes I just look at Him and say, look, I work for Him, but I don't always understand what He does. I don't doubt Him. I'm not going to question Him. It's easier to say when it's someone else's situation than mine. But it's a mystery. How can you grow up with a difficult life and childhood and it all work together for good? How could that be? You know what's sad about our society today? We are branding people who've had difficult lives and childhood. We are branding them and saying because of their past, their life, things that happened to them when they're children, that wasn't even their fault. That this child is never, that boy, they're going to grow up messed up in their lives and messed up in their thinking. Excuse me, all things work together for good for them too. Somehow God can do this, dear people. The point isn't so much if He'll explain it all to us, it'll make it better. The point is you give Him time and He will make it good. He will. He'll make it all work together for good. He'll take all the pieces and parts and things of His workings in our lives and He'll put them together and make something good out of it. Now, the good of Romans 8:28 is God's good, not mine. Because I won't always see it as good, but God will. And He'll make it good. See, my confidence, my part in all this isn't to try and get God to reveal everything about His working to me in my life so it all makes sense to me. My part is to trust Him enough to know He'll work it all together for good. Because He's God. He doesn't do things indiscriminately. God does not make mistakes. He doesn't say, oops. He doesn't stand back and say, well, that was a mistake, let's try this. God doesn't do that. There's the mystery of His working. Then there's the mystery of His ways. His way is not our way. Listen to this. You've read it before in Isaiah, but listen to the statement. He said there, listen. Seek ye the Lord while you may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. God says this to them, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Simply put, God is simply saying to us, don't worry, I know what I'm doing, and that my way is the right way. But wait a minute. Sometimes that means I have to lose to gain, to win. I have to give to get. I have to be humble to be lifted up. That's God's way is sometimes very contrary to us. I mean, come on, folks, look at me. Look at me. Lose to win. I mean, if you're a Cub fan, you got a shot. But other than that, lose to win, that's it. How could you possibly gain something by giving? You give to get. That's how you gain. You give and then you receive. You know how you find the life God has for you? You have to lose yours. That doesn't mean you die. It means you have to give up your life. If you give up the life you have, he promised you, he'll give you a life in exchange. Now, that doesn't make any sense. You have to plan and figure and arrange and put it all together and put all the pieces to it. And then you got to work real hard at it to make it go. And yes, you do have to work. But listen to me. If God's plan is, if you give up your life and lose it for my sake, then he'll find it. See, God's way is not our way. His thoughts high above our thoughts. Why do we have to lose in order to understand the principle of winning? Why do you have to suffer in order to be better at what you are and who you are? Hebrews 2 and verse 10 says the captain of our salvation, Jesus, was made perfect through suffering. So why does that have to be? See, our way is you do your best, you get all you can, and that's the way life goes. No, God's way is you do your best, give it all to him, and he'll make better out of it. His way is not our way. You know, probably the most clear and evident way of God being far above our ways is this thing of salvation. Folks, look at me. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. Yet the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. We are sinners who gave up salvation, gave up the right of heaven and eternal life because of sin. God will not allow sin into heaven. He condemns us because we're sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then God comes in the form of Jesus Christ, God the Son, and dies to pay for our sins. And then gives us eternal life as a free gift. Now that does not make sense. Not to a person with work ethic. Everything costs something. You have to work for what you get. Right? Please say yes. Okay, good. Don't tell me we're not picked up the government mentality. All right, we work for what we get, yes? You have to work for this. No, ain't no free lunch, everything costs something. And now we're talking about eternal life, a home in heaven, forgiveness of my sins, salvation, a standing with God, a son of God now, a child of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ, and it costs you nothing. It's free. The gift is free. And as a sinner, I come to the Savior, trust him to save me. He gives me salvation. Now, that cannot possibly make sense to the natural mind. There is no way that he could do that, but that is exactly the way that it is. It is, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's amazing. Oh, by the way, and if you're wondering about the way of salvation making a little less sense to you, how about the way of security of salvation? You're in Ephesians chapter 1. Go across the page there from verse 8 and 9 to verse 13. Here's the security of your salvation. In whom also you trusted after that you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that you believed, Ephesians 1:13, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. The moment you trusted Christ, he sealed you, secured you in that salvation. The moment you trusted Christ. That's what the verse said. When you believed, he sealed. Not later on. You don't hold out faithful for it. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to hold on for it. You trust Christ. He saves you. He seals you. You're secured. You're saved the moment you get saved as you're ever going to be. Secured in that salvation. Why? How? By God's promise. 1 Peter 1 and verse 5, kept by the power of God, ready to be revealed at the last time. That's amazing. See, that way does not make sense to us. We have a salvation we receive without works of any kind, and he gives it to us by grace through faith, and then gives us a security whereby you cannot undo the work God did. See, that way is far above our way. That is a mystery to me. People get hung up on some of this stuff about last days and prophecies and whether or not, you know, Obama's the Antichrist and all this kind of stuff. It's insane. Truth of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, why aren't we more amazed at the gift of grace of salvation? Why doesn't that just make us pause and think, you've got to be kidding me. The way of God is to give me something so amazing that I do not deserve? That's a mystery to me. Something known to God, but I understand it. I believe it. It's what the Bible teaches. It's true. Saved and secure. And then he says, now I want you to come and take up your cross and follow me. Deny yourself. All those things are contrary to my natural condition. That's why the most popular churches today are no-cost churches. You're not going to give up anything. You don't have to stop anything. You come, they'll bring the world to you. They'll bring it to your church. The world's music, the world's philosophy, the world's attitude, everything sing-song, happy, pat you on the po-po, and send you off to your scrambled eggs and champagne on Sunday morning, and you got a Christian life that you can't lose with that. People love that kind of stuff. Unfortunately, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, if you want to come after me, you need to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. There's always a price to that. But that's the way of the Christian life. You say, well, Pastor, if we just made things easier, people would be more acceptable. Acceptable to me and acceptable to church, but not acceptable to God. And the way of God, it's a mystery. Why he has such high expectations for us. But that's his way. His way is far above our ways, higher than our ways. But his way is right. Job said it, listen, behold, I go forward, but he is not there. This is a man sitting in the ashes of everything of his loss is all gone. Children all dead, possessions taken from him. He's sitting in the ashes picking his sores. And Job is speaking of God. He says, behold, I go forward, but he's not there. And backward, I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, but I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Even in the ashes of all of his loss, he said, but he knows where I'm at, and he knows the way I'm taking right now. The mystery of his way. And then there's the mystery of his will this morning that we spoke of a moment ago. What God has planned for all of us and each of us. Listen now, look at me. He does have a plan, you know. Do you ever wonder sometimes if people in politics, in the halls of Congress, do you ever wonder if they really do have a plan? Or a plan that makes sense? You ever just kind of scratch your head and say, what idiot came up with that one? You know, turning thousands of prisoners loose and then complaining about a crime rate. Well, there might be some stupidity behind that thought. Giving up 5 terrorists for 1 soldier. Now, if that was my son, I'd agree with that. If that was your brother, you'd be all right behind it. But the bottom line is they put 5 killers loose to free 1 American soldier. It's a tough spot, isn't it? How do you make that decision? Sometimes I wonder if people have a plan and understand, do you realize the God of heaven has a plan for your life? And that plan for your life fits into the plan of mankind for these ages. See, I don't see how that could all work out. See, that's the mystery of his will. 31 years ago this August, this first Sunday in August, Shasta Baptist Church started. No land, no building, no people, nothing. Grange Hall building on Airport Road across from Kent's Market. We held our first Sunday 31 years ago this August. We had no idea what God's plan was. We were just trying to start a church to preach the gospel and preach God's word. That's all. We had no idea what his plan was and how that plan starting that day would affect your life this morning. You see, that's the mystery of his will. You say, well, Pastor, after a while it kind of all comes together, doesn't it? Yes, because God has a plan. Now, here's the important thing. You and I need to make sure we're in his will. You see, you find out what the mystery of his will from the Word of God, and you find out what the mystery of his will for your life, through the Word of God. As I do what the Bible tells me to do, God will place me in that plan for my life. So I don't have to wonder about the unknown parts of it. I just need to know, do something about the known revealed will of God in that book right there, the Word of God. I need to do something about this book. If I'll do what this book tells me to do, I'll know what his plan for my life is. I will fit in each and every piece and part of that plan. And God will see to it that I fulfill his will as it fits all of mankind. And he has a way of working that all out. Ladies and gentlemen, it's incredible, this thing of the will of God. What you do not want to do is live and die and never know what his plan for your life is. It's right here in this book. As you live the revealed, the will of God for your life from his word, he will put you in his plan and it'll fit in this God's plan for the ages. Nobody but God could do that. And the wonderful thing is, my part in it is very simple. I take this book like a lamp to my feet and like a light to my path, and I let it guide me day by day in my life, and each day I'm in the will of God, and that fits in His plan. And there's still a mystery about it. I don't know about next year. I don't want one of those things where they say, you know, you could find out what's going to happen 5 years from now. I don't want to know that. I don't want to know what's going to happen 10 minutes from now. All I know is this. It's 12:20. I'm 20 minutes overdue this morning. I'll take that off the sermon tonight, okay? Because I had a four-hour sermon. I got some room to move, okay? So it's 12:20 at this point. I don't know that. I know that the plan for my afternoon is to go home today, Lord willing, leave this place, go home today and have a wonderful spaghetti lunch. Can I get a witness on spaghetti? Yeah. With meat in there and some mushrooms over whole wheat noodles. You got to have whole wheat now. Yeah, what's the point? Whole wheat noodles and eat four cookies. I mean, you might as well just have white noodles. I mean, what's the big deal? But anyway, whole wheat cookies. Yeah, no thank you. And, you know, have a small plate. Have a loaf of garlic bread and a Diet Coke. And then maybe get a little Baptist nap this afternoon. Something about Sunday afternoon naps. Can I get a witness on a Sunday afternoon nap? Some of you are starting already, but jumping the gun. Some of you need to go to church more. You need more sleep. A little Baptist nap and then get up and ready to come back and preach tonight. That's the plan for today. On the way home today, someone runs a red light. My plan changes. Everything's different then. How many times have we seen our life do a 180 in just a moment, and all of a sudden, it's not the same now? Did you know that was already in His plan? That's the mystery of His will. See, friend, look at me. The mystery of His working is resolved by faith and trust in God. The mystery of His way is resolved by faith and trust in God. The mystery of His will is resolved by faith and obedience to God's will and way. I guess our job is just to let God take control, or is it not? Don't get His hands off your life. Trust Him enough to follow Him in what He tells you to do. And you know something? The mystery of His will is known to Him, but will be revealed to us. One day in heaven, all matters will be resolved. I did not say all questions will be answered. We are not going to walk around in heaven asking God questions about what happened on this earth. We're not going to do it. Jesus already said so. He said, in that day you shall ask me nothing. Frankly, when we get to heaven, who gives a flip about what happened down here anyway? We're in heaven. Let's just enjoy heaven. But in heaven it does resolve everything. It's all done now. Past is past. Eternity has dawned and everything's good. It's all in the mystery of His will, you know. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.